Romans chapter 8. And as we begin, we always like to frame our world with our words, using God's voice activated system. So say this after me. This is my Bible, the inspired and living Word of God, given to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare that I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. As I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How'd jail go? Praise God. Holy Spirit is there. That's all that counts, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll open again Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 14, and let's read it all together. Say amen when you're there. Romans 8, verse 14. I'm teaching today out of the Amplified Bible. Before we start, I guess I would encourage you, if you don't have an Amplified Bible, I guess I would encourage you to get one. King James is fine. New King James, New Living Translation is fine. But I, you know, over my experience, my personal opinion is probably one of the best translations that we have today is the Amplified Bible, because it actually looks into the Greek, it looks into the Hebrew, and it amplifies what's being said in the Scriptures. Of course, it's not perfect either. I found some discrepancies and things, but overall, I'm telling you, it is a great, great translation. So in Romans 8, verse 14, let's read all together. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Hallelujah. Let me read it again. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Praise God. Now, it's interesting. It did not say, watch this, "all who are born again are sons of God." Interesting. Who are the sons of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 16. He says, "The Spirit Himself." Here's a great example. How many have King James in here? What's it say? The Spirit what? Itself, right? Well, see, the Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a He. It's a Him. It's a person. So the Amplified brings it out beautifully. It says, "The Spirit Himself thus testifies." What does it mean to testify? It means to speak, right? It says, "The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God." Hallelujah. The Spirit does what? The Spirit testifies. That means He speaks. The Spirit speaks to your spirit, our spirit. Amen. He doesn't speak to our flesh. He doesn't speak to our mind. He doesn't speak to your emotions, your will, your intellect. He speaks to who or where? He speaks to the Spirit. Look at it again. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Now go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. You know, every Sunday I think, man, I have the best job in the world. I get to preach and teach the uncompromised living Word of God. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says this, "And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." Hallelujah. So Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, calls us what? He says that we're spirit and soul and body. We are a three-part being. Amen? Now, I looked this up this week. The Greek word for spirit is the word pneuma. It starts with a P, P-N-E, U-M-A, pneuma. That's what he's talking about, spirit. Now, the word for soul is pushka, I guess. I'm not a Greek scholar, but it's the word that we get our word psyche from, P-S-Y-C-H-E. It's spelled P-S-U-K-H-A, psyche or sukha. That's the word that it uses for soul. And then for the body, it uses the word soma, S-O-M-A. Now, why am I sharing that with you? Because it's interesting to note is as you go through the Bible, that word soma is used both for the body of humans and for animals. So in that respect, you and I, our physical bodies, really don't aren't much different than an animal's body is, okay? But it is the soul and it is the spirit that separates us from the animals, amen? So we have to understand that we're spirit, soul, and body. So when you got born again, Jesus came to live in you, but he did not come to live in your body, amen? When you got born again, when Jesus came in to live in you, he did not come in to live in your soul, in your intellect, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. No, no. When he came to live where? In your spirit. That's where Jesus lives, in our spirits. Amen? So say this after me. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I have a body. Which one does God live in? The spirit. He lives in your spirit. And so we must understand that you will never learn to hear the voice of God until you learn his address. You'll never learn to hear the voice of God until you learn where he lives. Where does he live? He lives in your spirit. Amen? So as long as you are listening to your emotions, you don't have God's address. As long as you're listening to your physical voice, God's not there, is he? So the first thing we have to discover, where does God live? See, your physical body, this physical body of ours, contacts the physical realm around us. Our minds contacts what we call the intellectual realm, but it is our spirit that contacts the spirit realm. And God is a what? God is a spirit, right? So we need to be, what I like to say, spirit conscious. Amen? How many are with me here? Okay? So I'm just giving you a little introduction here. Now, it's important to understand that each of these three realms, each of them has a voice, has an ear, and has an eye. Your physical body has a voice. Amen? What is it? Pain. You know, heat, cooling, food. It's crying out all the time for the things that it wants. It has its own voice. And so each part of this of your makeup, it connects to what I'd say, I guess a better way would say would be a different realm. But we have to contact the realm that God's in if we're going to hear his voice. Amen? So when you locate your spirit, now you've located God. That's a pretty good thing. So if you're going to hear God in your life, the only place that you're going to hear him, you're not going to hear him in your body, you're not going to hear him in your mind, you're going to hear him in your spirit. Amen? Now, the voice of, I guess the voice of the flesh would call feelings. The voice of your mind, watch this, is called reason. But the voice of your spirit, what is that? We call it conscious, your consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Now you can reason, let's say you have something that's coming against you, something that you have an opportunity. You reason out, you know in your mind, if I do this, it's just wrong because it's the law of the land. But that you're using reason. But there are some things that you just understand, you would say, I understand in my gut, this is just wrong. What is that? That's your conscience. That's your spirit speaking the truth of God. Say, no, 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 don't do that. No, don't go here. Don't do that. Don't buy this or do this or go here. You know, I've shared this story a couple times. I just heard this from the Lord. Several years ago, we took a camping trip. I had this big fifth wheel, toy hauler 40-foot toy hauler. I have an extended cab, so I mean, I'm down the road. You know what I'm talking about? And we pulled into an RV place up near Leadville, and it was built in the, probably the 60s. And so RVs were not that big in those days. They were very small. And it was in a big circle, and you'd come in the even campsites, you'd come in from one side, and the odd campsites, you'd come in this side. So we were down here, so we'd make this circle. I pulled into our campsite, and they were so narrow, it wasn't just right. So I said, okay, I'm, a little perfectionist in me, got to get the camper just set right. So I pull out, I go around the circle. As I'm coming down the circle, this time there is a truck parked there that wasn't parked there before. First thing I hear, get out and tell them to move the truck. I said, okay. Then I said, I looked at it, I said, no, my reason kicks in. I said, no, that's not going to be in the way. He says, no, park the car, go move the truck. But, reason kicked in. I said, no, I can move it. So I just pull past that truck, and I make my right-hand turn. And as I'm making my right-hand turn, I'm seeing these people down this way going, the back end of my fifth wheel is taking out the whole side of his truck and his wheel and his tire. What was that? My conscience told me, no, stop and move the truck. But my reason said, I can do it. You see? So those are just an example of your reason versus your consciousness trying to speak to you. So where is God? He's in our spirit. It is our consciousness, right? So what do feelings look like? See, if we're led by our feelings, we know that we're not being led by God, right? Well, I just don't feel like going to church today. Well, is that God? That absolutely is not God. That's your feelings. Well, I just don't feel like reading my Bible today. I think I'd rather watch TV. Is that God? What is that? That's your flesh, right? Amen? Well, I don't feel like getting up early and praying. Is that God? No, that's your flesh, right? So if you go by what you feel, right, you're going to miss God by a country mile because God is not in your feelings, right? If we're led by our reason, no, I can make it past that car. I can make it past that truck. No, I couldn't. And the Holy Spirit was trying to save me a bunch of headaches and heartache, but with insurance and all that stuff. It's interesting to note that 3 days later, some guy did that to me. Did the same thing. My truck's parked there. He pulled in, didn't get it pulled around again. Did the other side of my truck. So it's like, okay, well, this is a great camping trip. And you just praise God, Hallelujah. But see, if you make a decision based on an emotional response, guess what? Then you've just missed God. Amen? So one thing you can always be sure of is that the voice of your body and the voice of your soul, watch this, will always be louder than your spirit, because we tend to feed our physical body and we feed the voice of our soul, but not so much our spirits. Come on, somebody. We give our spirit a little snack cracker once or twice a week, and then we wonder why we're not growing. Because, see, if you want his voice to become louder, then you're going to have to begin to feed him on a regular basis. You're going to have to begin to feed your spirit just like you feed your body, just like you feed your soul. You need to feed your spirit. And as you feed your spirit, now it can begin to grow. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You need to feed it until the spirit becomes the loudest of the three voices. Then you will consistently begin to hear the Lord God. Amen? Begin to hear the Spirit. But you have to feed him. What do you have to feed him? You have to feed him spiritual food, right? What is spiritual food? The Word. Faith comes how? By hearing. One time? Once a week? No. Constantly hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to make a statement here that may shock some of you this morning. But as long as you're not hearing your spirit man, it doesn't do you any good to be spirit-filled. How many are spirit-filled? Praise God, almost everybody here. If you're not, don't leave here today without getting filled with the Spirit. But if you're not hearing the voice of the Spirit, it doesn't do you any good to call yourself a spirit-filled Christian. Why? Because as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? Hallelujah. What is, when you got born again and then you got filled with the Spirit, what was the specific intent and purpose for being spirit-filled? So you can be led. What was the very first thing that happened to Jesus after he got filled with the Spirit? He was led by the Spirit, correct? The intent and purpose of being spirit-filled is so that you can be spirit-led. Say spirit-led. So look at this, look at the verse again. He says, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit. That means the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what you have to do, right? But if you can't hear his voice, guess what? You've just missed God. Amen? The Spirit is who you are. Now watch this. The Spirit is who you are, but faith is what you can do. Write that down, somebody. Hallelujah. Spirit is who you are, but faith is what you can do, what you can accomplish in this life. See, faith is not in your mind. Faith is not in your body. Where's faith? Faith is in your spirit. So all success in our lives is going to come from spirit. So it makes sense to take some time, take some energy, take some money, and feed and build our spirits. Amen? I really like the way the Copelands are advertising the Southwest Believers Conference this year. They say, take a faithcation. And I'll be totally honest with you. Not recently, praise God, but you know, there was a time when I thought, who in the world would take their vacation to go to a conference? You know, I'm working full time. You think I want to go to listen to hear the Word of God? No, I want to go do what I want to do. And now I can't, you know, it's just entirely opposite now. I enjoy, I want to go to as many things as the Spirit would lead me to go to and grow in. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, right? By the Word. If you get the Word, you feed your spirit. You feed your spirit, your faith grows, right? If your faith grows, that means your spirit man is growing. I don't know about you, when I was little, my dad, he had this three-foot measuring stick. Yardstick, that's what. And so he'd put me up against the wall, and he'd put the yardstick right there, and he'd measure the top, and he'd put the date. Anybody ever do that with your kids, grandkids? And then, you know, you keep seeing it grow. You know, you could see as I aged, I grew. Well, it's the same thing with your spirit. The more spirit food that you put inside, your spirit man is growing to the point where now he's bigger than the voice of your intellect. He's bigger than the voice of your reason. He's bigger than the feelings of your physical body. And now you can hear and be led by God. Amen? But what's the key? Building the spirit man. I like what Dr. Nasser says. He says, poor people entertain themselves. Rich people educate themselves. But not just any kind of education. What is it? It's Word. Word. Hallelujah. So what's the key? Building the spirit man. Okay? So I've said all that to say this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we can begin the new series that we're starting today. Hallelujah. And I believe without a single doubt in my mind that this is what the Lord is leading us to teach. And our text is going to be located in 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Say amen when you're there. Hallelujah. He says this in the Amplified. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. We too believe, and therefore speak. Well, first of all, we clearly see what's happening here, the voice-activated system in operation, right? And this has always been one of my favorite scriptures, but as I began to look at this, as I began to meditate on it, and I'm telling you, this was of the Lord. What was one of the main scriptures that we had in the Believer's Academy this week? Was it not this exact verse that we're looking at today? 2 Corinthians 4:13. You think that's an accident? No, we're being led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So as I've meditated and as I looked at it, beginning to get more revelation. Let's read this together again. He says, "Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, 'I have believed, and therefore have I spoken.' We too believe, and therefore we speak." Amen? I have believed, and what? And therefore, I have believed, and therefore. Now, you've heard us say this again, but any time you see the word therefore, you need to see why it's there for. And in this particular scripture, it's really interesting. In two scriptures back to back, we have the word therefore. Therefore implies that something has come before, right? Something has come prior to it. And in this case, what was it? I have believed. Say, I have believed. I have believed. I have believed. The problem with many in the church, and especially with those that align themselves with, you know, word of faith and such, is that they're speaking before they should. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to, as we get through this, you'll understand what I'm saying. Yes, you are to speak. We all know speaking is vital. We live in a voice-activated system. We live in a voice-controlled universe. Nothing happened until God spoke. Amen? But to speak without the measure of faith is unproductive. If you speak just to speak, but you don't have a measure of faith in those words that you speak, it's totally unproductive. So here's the next series that I believe the Lord is teaching us, and we're titling it Faith That Will Not Fail. Somebody say amen. Faith that will not... How many would like to have faith that won't fail? Both hands are raised. Watch this. Now, the spirit man is who we are, but faith is the measure at which your spirit grows. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Faith becomes the measure of your growth. The more faith comes, the more your spirit man grows. So faith becomes that measuring stick that I was talking about earlier, right? It becomes the measure of your growth in the things of God. Now watch this. Because this is going to change the way you read your Bible. Every place that you see the word faith, the next time you read your Bible, replace it with this phrase, being led by the Spirit. And you'll see the importance of what I'm talking about here. The Bible says that the just, let me give you some examples. The just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. So replace that. The just shall live by the leading of their spirit. Do you see that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? Replace it. Without being led by the Spirit, it's impossible to please God. We're to live by faith. What does that mean? We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. We're to walk by faith. What does that mean? We're to walk by being led by the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. When the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find people being led by the Spirit of God? That's what he's saying. Amen? And the Bible calls anything that's not faith, what is it called? Sin. So what I'm saying to you today is if you are led by the Spirit of God, watch this, we'll never make a mistake. Isn't that awesome? How many have made mistakes? What do you know? What's the first thing you know? You weren't led by the Spirit of God, right? Hallelujah. We're to walk by faith. We're to walk by being led by the Spirit of God. So let's look at our scripture again. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith. The same fear is what? As he who wrote, "I have believed, and therefore I've spoken." We too believe, therefore we speak. What's the process? You got to learn the process. What comes first? You've got to believe first. Then what happens? Then you speak. See, the reason that many people are speaking to things and are not seeing change is they're speaking too fast. They're speaking too quickly. See, we need to get a revelation of what it means to believe. Because he says, I have believed, therefore I spoke. Right? So once you believe and once you speak, what do we know happens? Mountains begin to move. That's the word, right? You speak, you believe, and you speak, the mountain will move. Not if, right? Not maybe, it will move. Is that the word of God? Yes. So if the mountain's not moving, what do we know? Something wrong here. Not God, not the process. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Hallelujah. Now, I said that to say this. You've heard me say this many times. Don't believe a single word I say today, okay? Unless you can prove it for yourself in the Bible, okay? Now, there's a purpose why I said it even again this morning, and here's why. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Most of us know that, you know, that great hall of fame of faith, Hebrews 11. And we're going to look at verse 1. Now, Hebrews 11, say amen when you're there. He says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Hallelujah. Now, I believe, I laugh at this, that I've taught you incorrectly. So I have to apologize today because I've taught you some things that aren't correct. And I've heard it taught like this and by people that I love, the people that I respect, and people are still teaching it today, but I believe it's wrong, okay? So the way I've taught it or the way you've heard me teach it is that now faith is, meaning that faith is present tense, that faith is in the now. How many remember that? Have we taught it that way? We said now faith. We said it's not future. We said it's not past. It's now, right? Now faith. That's what it says in the Bible. It says, now faith is. Therefore, faith must be now. How many are with me? But since faith is now, or now faith is, then it must be now. But that's wrong. Say wrong. And I'm going to prove it to you. So let's look at some scriptures to back this up. Because you don't need my opinion, right? You need to have the uncompromised word of God. So go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 first. And then from there we're going to go to Isaiah 49. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul says this. He says, in a time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call. And I have helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So many of us have read that, and because it says now is the day of salvation, we have assumed that faith must be now as well. Are you with me? Okay. But we have to understand, Paul was quoting the Old Testament. So go over to Isaiah 49. Because if we're going to understand what he was really saying, we need to look at it in the full context of what is that was actually being said. And he's quoting Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Amen? What are we doing? If we don't know what faith is, then how are we going to know when we've got some? Right? If you don't know what it is, how do you know you got it? Or how do you know you don't got it? Right? You don't have it. Excuse my English, but you know what I'm talking about, right? So in Isaiah 49, he says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and favored time, I have heard and answered you. And in the day of salvation, see, that's where it came from, I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to raise up and establish the land and to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate heritage. Now, I want you to underline the word heard. He says, in an acceptable, in a favorable time, I have heard. Underline heard. And then he says, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Underline the word helped. So again, this scripture right here is where they got the day of salvation in the New Testament. But notice something here. you underline the word heard, and you underline the word helped. Are they present tense or are they past tense? They're past tense. So let's look at this for a minute. When the day of salvation came to you individually, did the salvation come? Does salvation come into your life when you heard about Jesus? No. Did salvation come to you when you read about Jesus? No. Did salvation come to you when someone told you about Jesus? No. When did salvation come? Salvation came when you believed, duh. Okay, just hang in there. Don't take your guns out yet. When did salvation come? Salvation came when you believed, not when you're believing. Okay? Just hang in there. I'll prove it to some more here. Go back to Hebrews 11 again. If it's not making sense, just hang on, okay? It will. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving is real fact. I love that. What is not revealed to the senses. See, faith is never going to make sense to your senses. But see, the problem is if you start in verse 1 and chapter 11, which I have personally done myself, then you will not get the proper context of what's being said. And that's one of the basic rules that we always teach you, that you've got to read a couple lines before and read a couple lines after, and what's being said in the chapter, and what's the theme of the chapter, what's the theme of the chapter before that. And so how many know when they wrote this, they did not write it in chapter and verse. It was one long letter. Man has put it in chapter and verse to make it easier for us to make sense of everything, but it wasn't originally written that way. So what we have to do is we have to go back a little bit and find out what's being said in the previous chapter. So let's back up, go into Hebrews 10 for a minute, and let's look at this, because I'm telling you what I'm teaching here today is vitally important. You cannot leave here today without understanding what the Spirit wants to show you here today. Let's start in verse... Let's start in verse 36. He says, "For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay." Hallelujah. Verse 38, "But the just shall live by faith." Okay. "My just shall live by faith, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. But our way is not of those who draw back into eternal misery or perdition and who are utterly destroyed, but we are those who believe, who cleave to and trust and rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul." So he tells us what? The just have to live by faith. You have to trust. You have to rely by faith in Jesus. Amen? He's saying, don't shake back. Don't lose your patience. Faith. You have to walk by faith. Walk by faith. And then he begins chapter 11. He says, "So now, let me tell you what faith is." He's not saying, "Now faith is." No, he's saying, "Okay, now that you understand that we have to walk by faith, now let me tell you what it is." You see the difference? This is where we've taught it incorrectly. And again, I apologize. He starts the verse with "now," but it doesn't mean that faith is now. And this is where it's been taught in Christ. Let's talk faith, let's talk faith, let's talk faith. Now, let me tell you what it is. And if you go through that, you'll see, I believe you'll see what I'm telling you is the truth here. Right? This is the context that it was written in. So what we learn today is that faith is not present tense. It never has been present tense. And it will never be present tense. And I'm going to give you some more examples in a moment. But first of all, let me give you some what ifs, and you'll understand what I'm trying to show you today. You know, am I just nitpicking today? I mean, are we just looking at this thing, with a magnifying glass and making a mountain out of a molehill, or is truly understanding what faith is it really important to us? I believe it is, right? So let me share some examples, and then we'll look at some scriptures. If you say to me, Pastor Chris, I am believing God for my healing. Guess what? It's not going to happen. You're not going to get healed. I've used that phrase. I am believing God. It sounds very religious. It sounds very scriptural, but it absolutely is not. I am believing God for my healing. Yes, really? Guess what? You'll never be healed. Do you know any people that are believing God for a healing and they haven't been healed yet? Most likely this is why. I'm believing God, watch this, I'm believing God for a new debt-free building. Won't happen. As long as I'm believing God for a new building, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Why? You don't believe for your healing. You don't believe for a new building. You believe the past tense. Faith has always been, faith will always be past tense. In other words, see, faith celebrates the touchdown before the touchdown. Faith celebrates the new building before it comes in. Faith celebrates the healing before it manifests in your body. Faith celebrates the twins before they're born, before they're conceived. Amen? Say this after me. Faith is past tense. Faith is past tense. Hallelujah. And do you know what seals the deal? Do you know what seals your faith, your deal? Thanksgiving. Why are you thanking Him? The only reason you're going to thank Him is because you've received what you asked. That's why Thanksgiving brings the victory. And 9 weeks of teaching on that. Go back to the website and get it. Thanksgiving seals your faith. Thanksgiving seals it. Why am I giving Him thanks? Because I believe, duh, that I received. Why else would I thank Him if I didn't really believe I'd received it? You see, you see how subtle this thing is? And the enemy's gotten us just to that point where it looks like we're doing the religious thing, looks like we're doing the biblical thing, but yet we're doing something with no power by believing God for something. Wow. I started seeing this, that's why I told you that. I started seeing this right before the day we had our Believers Academy, and it was on faith. And I'm going, oh boy, I got some backtracking to do here. But praise God for the Holy Spirit. Even if you get off track, He'll guide you back on track. Right? That's His job. Hallelujah. Now, if you really get this in your spirit, you really need to get this in your spirit, because this is vital for your success. Come on, folks. Faith is not what you're believing for. Faith is what you have believed. Past tense. Let me make a few more statements, then we'll go to the Bible, back some of these things up. See, God is not going to do anything for you. You got it. It's already finished. God is not going to do anything for you. He's not going to heal your body. He already did it. He's not going to provide everything you need according to His riches and glory. He's already done it. Right? Jesus uttered three words on the cross. Now we know, if you've been in this church, that the words of Jesus were the words of who? So the Father, through Jesus, on the cross, said three little words. It is finished. What's that mean? Everything you'll ever need, want. It's already there. He's already provided it, right? He's not going to do anything for you. He's already done it, right? So whatever you need in your life, as far as God is concerned, was already accomplished 2,000 years ago. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's already done. Why? Faith is past tense. Now check this out. Because after this statement, I don't think you'll ever read your Bible the same again. Because everything you read, every promise that you see in here is already done. That's exciting. Come on, somebody. If the Bible says it, it's finished. Amen? If the Bible says, by your stripes, by his stripes, you have been healed, then what? You've already been healed. Right? Now watch this. It took me some time to get this. But if you have believed, duh, then faith becomes an act. Write that down. What do I mean by that? If you have believed, duh, past tense, faith becomes an act. See, a woman can't wonder, if am I pregnant or am I not pregnant? Either you're pregnant or you're not. There's no in between, right? If you are, then you act like it, right? But if you're believing to get pregnant, that means you're not pregnant. I'm believing God. What do you? The minute that phrase, now you should just, you know, red flags go. No, brothers, no sisters. Let me help you. That's not going to work. I'm believing God. Oh, stop right there. Right? If you're believing for a new building, then you don't have a new building. Right? If you're believing to get out of debt, then you're not out of debt. But if you have believed that you're out of debt, guess what? You are out of debt. Now you thank him. Now it's a matter of time before that thing manifests. I'm thanking you for my new building. Debt-free, by the way. I'm thanking you. I give you praise. I give you honor. What's that mean? I have it. I've got it. Dr. Nestor says, you gotta got it before you get it. Right? You gotta got it before you get it. So I said, once you've believed, duh, your faith becomes an act. Think about Noah for a minute. Noah believed, duh, God, right, that a rainstorm was coming. So he built an ark. What did he do? He acted. Right? Faith becomes an act. See, the day that you receive the word and say, by his stripes, the word says, he carried my sickness and he carried my sorrows. By his stripes I've been healed. Then you begin to act like it. Then you begin to talk like it already happened. Come on, somebody. It's not a wishing and a hoping. That's what the world does. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Right? So what I'm saying today is that faith is exactly the same way. Oh, come on, somebody. Either you have the baby or you don't have the baby. You have to decide. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You have to get it in your spirit first before you see it on the outside. Because that's where faith is, right? If you don't get it on the inside, you won't get it on the outside. That's why so many people in the church are believing God for this, believing God for that, and it doesn't happen. Year after year after year, sitting without a victory, in defeat, broken, sick, defeated. Why? Because they're still believing God. You see how subtle the enemy is? And the reason this is so important, that people are believing God for some big things. When it doesn't happen, what do? They blame God. They blame the preacher. They blame the pastor. They blame the guy on TV. Why? Because it's not working. God, this thing's just not working. Your word says, but it's not working. He's going, it's already done. It's already, you know, we won't go there. The reason it's not working is they're not walking and they're not talking and they're not acting like it's already done, like it's already happened. We have to walk, we have to talk, and we have to act like it's already done. Come on, somebody. See, the world says, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Isn't that the world's way? Oh, yeah, oh, brother, sure, yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. No, no, no. The Bible says you got to see it first. I mean, you got to believe it, and then you'll see it. If you believe it, you can see it, right? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Getting a little warm in here today without the air conditioning, so it's okay. Thank you. Are you learning something? Now you can see what a shock I had in myself. I'm sitting downstairs in my office. I'm studying, and all of a sudden I realize, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Humble pie. I got to tell him I taught it wrong. That's okay. I'm not here for me. Right? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Now watch this. For we who have believed, who've what? Past tense. For we who have believed, adhered to, trusted, and relied on God, do enter that rest. In accordance with his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter, when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this he said, though, although his works, now watch this, although his works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. That says it right there. That scripture has it all right there. Your faith has to become past tense to enter the rest of God. I used to really, for years, I could, what, enter your rest. What is your rest? What is your rest? And now I'm finally beginning to see it much more clearly. To enter the rest of God the rest of God is knowing by faith that it's already done for you. That's why it's rest. But if you don't believe, you can't enter into that rest. Why? Because you don't believe that it's already done. So there's no rest. There's something it has to do. You have to do something. You have to get it. You have to acquire it. You have to make it happen. But no, when you enter into the rest of God, you enter in because you have believed, that it's already done. That's why you can rest. I'm telling you, folks, if you get that in your spirit, that will take such a load off your that you I can't even describe how restful that will be. How freeing that will be. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. You've done it. All I got to do is rest. Why? Because I have believed. Duh. Hallelujah. The Greek word for faith in the Bible is the word, this is, as far as I understand, the actual Greek pronunciation, pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. In the English, it's spelled pistis, P-E-S-T-S. That's the way you hear Dr. Nasser say it sometime. But if you do some research on that word, pistis, which is the word for faith, this is how it's defined: firmly persuaded, firmly convinced. If I try and convince you, if I try and persuade you, what tense is that? That's present. But if she is persuaded, if she is fully convinced, what tense is that? It's past tense. That's why faith is always past tense. Fully convinced, fully persuaded. Thank you. Hallelujah. Both of the words end in D. That means it's past tense. It means it's finished. But see, until you receive it as finished, until you receive it as a finality, it won't manifest. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4:13 now. Now with what we've talked about, let's look at our base scripture again. And see, now we get to see, you get a little bit of revelation on what is actually being said here. And once you get that, man, this will be an exciting scripture for you. Yet we have the same spirit of faith. And if you look through it, he's talking about the same spirit of faith as all the saints that have gone before you, Moses and Jethro and Jacob and Israel, you know, and Jesus himself. We have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote what? I have believed, therefore, what? I've spoken. We too believe, therefore, we speak. Have believed is past tense. He didn't say, well, I am believing, therefore I have spoken. We too are believing, therefore we speak. That's the problem in the church. Too many people are speaking a confirming word, and they're not speaking a commanding word. What's the difference? Here's a confirming word. One that you've heard in the church, you've read it in the Bible, you heard somebody on TV, you heard somebody in a tape. Well, that really sounds good. I guess I'll say that. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I've been healed. By his stripes I've been healed. Well, is that scripture? But am I fully persuaded and fully convinced? No. I'm just simply speaking a confirming word. But boy, once that thing drops in mind, I realize, yes, God, Jesus hung on the cross. He bled. He paid the price for my sins. He prayed for price for my sickness and disease. He carried them all. And by his stripes, I have been healed. Now, when I say, by his stripes, I have been healed, that is a commanding word, not a confirming word. Do you see the difference? Hallelujah. How does faith come? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So you keep hearing a word day in and day out, day in and day out. All of a sudden, that thing goes from here to here. Drops down 18 inches into your spirit. Now, instead of just a word to recite, now it becomes a commanding word. You have believed, duh, and therefore, speak. And what happens? The mountain moves. It has to. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. And see, I said that, let me say this again. The problem in the church is that too many people are speaking before they have believed. They're simply speaking confirming words, but they're not commanding words. That's good preaching. Faith is always, always, always past tense. Faith is always what God has done. It's finished. Amen? That's why faith is not moved by what it sees. That's why you can have everything in the world coming against you and not be moved one iota if you're standing in faith, because you know it's already done. You know it's already provided. You know it's already accomplished. That's why Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things. What things? Beating, shipwrecks, jail, imprisonment, being stoned to death. None of that moves me. It's done. Yeah. Get off me. Oof, little flea. Oof, get off. Hallelujah. I received it the moment I prayed. Let's finish today. Go to Mark 11, 23. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Yes. Well, I'll tell you, I did this week. Oof. Mark 11, verse 23. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain. So we already know this will work for a whoever. Are there any whoevers or whosoevers in here? Yeah. Be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Now, this word believes, if you look it up in the Greek, in the Strong's Concordance, is the exact same word that was used in 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is believed, past tense. Be lifted. He says, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but has believed, that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Now do you see the difference? Now we know why the mountains haven't moved. Amen? It doesn't say whoever will not doubt but is believing. Oh, that won't work. It's believed. Say believed. He knows, what's that mean? He knows in his heart, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that what he says will happen. Amen? He got it before he gets it. He got it before he gets it. Amen? Do you know why faith-filled words will move a mountain? Watch this. How'd the mountain get there? Faith-filled words. How'd the mountain come in? Faith-filled words. How's the mountain going to move? Faith-filled words. See how easy it is? We just haven't believed. Duh. We've been believing. That won't work. Folks, we're turning the corner today. I hear it by the Holy Spirit. We're turning the corner in our faith right now. From this moment on, not a thing will be the same in your life, because now you're going to believe. Now you're going to be fully convinced. Now you're going to be fully persuaded that what he says is true. And when you speak it, the mountain will have to move. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believed that it's granted to you, and you will get it. Exact same word. Past tense. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believed. Come on, somebody. See, if you'll just make this little change, it'll make a huge impact in your life. Once this revelation of what you're believing God for is already done, already accomplished, then the minute you see it by faith, you receive it. The moment you speak, now you just celebrate and thank him for it, because it's just a matter of time before it manifests. You give thanks to God for the victory because it's yours by faith. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:13, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed, duh, and therefore have I spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. Now you know the secret to God's voice-activated system. Now you understand how you can become that portal between heaven and earth. We are the body of Christ. Amen? God wants you to fill up this earth with his garden. And you do that by believing, by building your faith in his word until it becomes real on the inside of you. Once it becomes real on the inside of you, then it's going to manifest on the outside of you. Because you have believed, duh, now it manifests in the physical realm. Heaven has now touched earth, and you are the vehicle that God uses to accomplish it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is such good stuff. Hallelujah.
This teaching has been brought to you today free of charge by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.